Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Gore rocks, kicks, delivers. Fastball hit in the air to deep right center. Hassel going back, slowing up, has a play, and makes the catch just before crossing out of the warning track to retire the side. So Mackenzie Gore, 3 straight scoreless innings. He retires 11 in a row. And he retires 14 of the last 15 Cubs.
Charlie Slows last night along with Dave Jagler as the Nat shut out the Cubs behind Mackenzie Gore's 7 innings of 3-hit, no run, no earned run pitching. He has been outstanding. So have the Nats, who have won 5 of 7 and are solidly in third place in the National League East. They are a game and a half ahead of the Atlanta Braves. Good morning, everybody. On a morning in which it will lead into an evening in which the NBA Finals will get underway. Not the most anticipated of NBA Finals in recent memory. Oklahoma City and Indiana. Probably a nightmare for the NBA, but nothing's really a nightmare for the NBA. They signed a $76 billion television deal last year. They're fine. And in many ways, this may be an introduction to the game's great young stars. And it should be a decent series. Tonight, game one, we'll talk about the NBA Finals during the show today. Lots of football talk on the show today. Starting with this, I got this tweet from G-Rob DMV to Atlanta. It's not really a discussion point anywhere else but here in D.C., and he's talking about OTAs. And so he attached a it's funny, he attaches a story. Ravens missing nearly 20 players from OTAs. And this was from last year's OTA session, a headline, you know, and he said, no one else is talking about it except for here in D.C., except he's attaching a headline story from Baltimore last year. I was curious as to whether or not G-Rob DMV was right, and he's not even close to right. Sorry, Rob DMV. I just Googled OTA absences, and literally multiple stories, if you go through multiple pages, multiple stories on at least 27 of the league's 32 teams appear. Everybody talks about OTAs in every single market. Here's some of the headlines. Diggs at Patriots OTA after absence, viral boat video. I heard about that last week. Baltimore Ravens send clear message with impressive OTA attendance. So clearly there was a lot to that was made last year about their poor attendance, and they've got better attendance now. Kirk Cousins, James Cook, among prominent NFL OTA absences. James Cook, only no-show is Bills open OTAs. Cowboys fans shouldn't overreact to Micah Parsons' Week 2 OTA absence. Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud misses another OTA practice. D'Amico Ryans has to explain why. Lions OTA attendance, along with injury report, very interesting discussion. Four Chiefs starters missing from first public OTA practice, and it just goes on and on and on. Literally, over the last week, pages of OTA stories from every other NFL market, and I found multiple stories for 27 of the 32 NFL markets. So, yeah, no, sorry, everybody talks about OTAs. I think it's overdone, too. Now, the Marshawn Lattimore situation for us this year is an interesting conversation, and maybe we'll get into it more deeply as the show goes on. On the show today, you're going to hear from schedule maker Mike North. Remember, we had him on before the schedule came out, about a month before the NFL schedule came out. You're going to hear from him about the putting together of Washington's 2025 schedule and a lot more. He was fabulous. I recorded this about a week and a half ago, and he was great. And it's all, you know, timely forever until the season actually begins. Also, I've been promising for you golf fans this guy that wrote the Golf Top 100 book. He was excellent. We're going to try to work that into the show as well today. I wanted to start with this because I still can't wrap my brain around something that I had an emailer help me discover yesterday. And Max, I want you to pay attention because I bet you and the majority of listeners did not know that this was possible.
Uh-oh.
Pete in Potomac wrote me, "Kevin, did you know that an NFL team can end up with just 1 point in a game? It's never happened, but here's how it could." And then Pete attached the explanation per the NFL rulebook and a video from somebody explaining how it can happen. So let me just make sure that everybody understood what Pete was sending me. It's not that everybody understands you can get 1 point on an extra point. You know, you kick an extra point, it's worth 1 point. But that follows a touchdown. That's not what he was talking about. He was talking about the possibility exists that a game could end with a final score of 14-1 or 24-1 or, you know, 35-1. Did you know that, Max?
No. I'm very interested to hear the explanation because, yeah, scoring 1 point in an NFL game seems unprecedented.
And it's never happened.
And when/if it happens, I know that whatever fan base it is will get clowned quite a bit on the internet. So I'm very excited for that.
Let me just tell you, it is a long shot for it to happen. But I'm almost 100% positive that I did not know that this was a possibility. Now, I talked about it briefly on my podcast yesterday, and a couple of people reached out and said, "I think you talked about this like 10 years ago." I don't think I did. I am pretty sure that I did not know that a team could end up with just 1 point in an NFL game. So here's how it would happen. In the NFL rulebook, Rule 11, which is the scoring section where they describe how you get points, you know, touchdown, field goal, extra point, two-point conversion, safety, etc. In Section 3, there is a lot discussed about what they call tries. Tries are extra points or two-point conversion attempts. And then in Rule 11, the section on scoring, Section 3, the section on tries. Article 2C talks about how a safety on an extra point, meaning a kicked extra point, or a two-point conversion, how it would be actually scored. And here's how the rule actually reads. The rule reads as follows, quote, If the try results in what would ordinarily be a safety against either team, 1 point is awarded to the opponent. So, how would a team end up with getting 1 point? Well, there are a couple of possibilities. You know, I'm not going to go through two-point conversion and kicked a PAT. Just understand that the only way to get awarded 1 point is on a try. Okay, a try being what happens after a touchdown is scored, which is an extra point or a two-point conversion attempt. So whether you're kicking an extra point or you're going for two, that is the only scenario in which 1 point can be awarded, other than, you know, kicking the PAT through the uprights. So what can happen and how you would end up with just 1 point in a game is if you didn't score in any other way, and you were the team on defense as the opponent who had just scored a touchdown is lining up to either kick an extra point or go for a two-point conversion. If that play got wild as follows, let's just say the kick got blocked. The kicker picks it up. He's running around. You know, he gets hit, the ball comes loose, and it's going backwards. Okay, it's now down to the 35-40-yard line. And now the holder picks it up, and he's running around, and he's going backwards, and somehow the team that was attempting the try, either two-point conversion or a kicked extra point, gets tackled in their own end zone. It's a long way away from where the try attempt happens. I understand that. On a kick, it happens from the 27-yard line. It's a 37-yard extra point. Two-point conversion, we know, is from the 2-yard line. All right. But if somehow the ball worked its way all the way back to that end zone and the kicking or the attempting try team got tackled in the end zone, the defensive team would be awarded 1 point. And therefore, if they didn't score another point during the game, they could end the game with just 1 point. Now, the other way 1 point gets awarded is, you know, well, let me go through one other scenario there. Look, it's a long shot, but if you're going for two, let's just say, and it gets picked, and the guy's running it back down the sideline, and then all of a sudden he gets stripped, you know, at the 15-yard line, ball's loose, and somebody from the attempting two-point conversion team, a wide receiver, picks it up, and now he's trying to get it back, you know, upfield, but he's going backwards. That's probably the most likely, you know, a two-point conversion where it's picked or quarterback's hit, fumbled, and you get a big return that starts heading down towards the other end zone, but then somehow there's a change of possession in the middle of the play, and the kicking team or the two-point converting team picks it back up and then gets tackled in the end zone. 1 point to the defense. Now, if it happens the other way, two-point conversion, gets picked, guy runs it out to the 15-yard line, then starts going backwards, and he gets tackled in his own end zone, then the offensive team or the team that was attempting the try gets awarded a point. But that team can't end up with 1 point in the game because they were attempting the conversion because they just scored a touchdown, which is worth 6 points. The picked off on a two-point conversion, stripped from behind, offensive guy picks it up, he starts running around, gets chased, goes backwards, gets tackled in the end zone, 1 point. And if they don't score another point during the entirety of the game, they could end the game with 1 point. I never knew this. I bet most of you never knew this. Did you know that that could happen, Max? It sounds like you did not.
No, I did not. It's very bizarre, and it's almost impossible, but there are...
It's impossible. It's highly almost, unlikely.
But
there have been 13 one-point situations awarded, but they've all been awarded to the kicking team or the two-point attempting team because of a block kick where a guy picked it up or an intercepted two-point conversion and he went backwards into his own end zone. The other way is obviously highly unlikely, but it's possible. And I think the way that I described it, you know, a kick gets blocked and the guy's running it back and he gets stripped, or it's a two-point conversion and he picks it off and he's running down the field, he gets stripped, and then it's picked up by an offensive player, you have a change of possession, he goes backwards trying to avoid tacklers and gets hit and dropped in the end zone. That's the way it would happen. It's never happened. I wouldn't bet that it would ever happen. The odds are a long shot. But the fact that it's a possibility that an NFL game could end, you know, 7-1 or 24-1, I never knew that to be a possibility. So thank you, Pete, for making me aware of that.
This sounds like a season-long future that I would bet on every single year until.
Well, of course you would.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they wouldn't post odds.
They would never.
Yeah. But one day, I guess if you live long enough, and look, you know, given the number of two-point attempts that we now have in the game, and the fact that the extra point now for, 7 years or whatever it's been, 8 years now, maybe 10 years, is a longer extra point, it's an increased possibility from what it was before, because we have more two-point attempts and we've got a longer extra point than it was for the, you know, 50 years that this thing was on the books. But just, you know, if somebody says, hey, is it possible for a team to end up with 1 point? Your immediate answer, most of you, would be no. It's impossible, because the only way to get 1 point is to kick an extra point, and that comes after a touchdown. Well, who knew? I didn't. Thank you, Pete, in Potomac, for letting me know about that. All right, real quickly on the Nats, I did want to come back to it, because I watched some of Mackenzie Gore because I saw it trending on Twitter. In fact, Grant tweeted something out after the game, and I think this is interesting. He, you know, I think we've been talking about the very distinct possibility that the Nats have two all-stars in James Wood and C.J. Abrams. In fact, I mean, I think those are locks at this point. But Grant suggested that Mackenzie Gore might be considered an all-star as well. He has now a 2.87 ERA and leads Major League Baseball in strikeouts. So the Nats, you know, could end up with three all-stars this time next month, which is really quite amazing. But Mackenzie Gore has been lights out in his last three starts, in particular, lowering that ERA significantly, and he leads the bigs. He's got 108 strikeouts, seven better than the pitcher who is number two in the league. And the Nats, we know, have, you know, produced a lot more power than they did a year ago, a lot more offense. Last night, they didn't get anywhere near the amount of offense that they've been getting. You know, they had that four-game stretch against the Mariners and the Diamondbacks where they scored 9 runs in 3 consecutive games and 11 runs in the fourth game in that four-game winning streak last year. But they are clearly better than anybody really guessed they would be. They're 3 games below 500. The problem is this. They just can't compete with the teams that have much bigger payrolls. And the problem with the Nats is that two of those big spending teams in the National League exist in their division, the Mets and the Phillies. And the Braves will spend as well. And the Nationals don't. They're overachieving right now. You know, through at this point 61 games with another 100 to go, 101 to go, the Nats are clearly overachieving at 29-32. And in third place, ahead of Atlanta. Atlanta, I know, has had many injuries. But, you know, they're going to have to, as long as the Learners own this team, they're going to have to just fight each year for one of those wild card spots, because winning a division against teams like the Mets and the Phillies, and to a lesser extent the Braves, year in and year out with what they're willing to spend, is going to be difficult over 162. But to get to 84 or 85 and be a wild card team, and then we know what the MLB playoffs are every year, crapshoot. Best, you know, once you get into short series and it's nothing reflective of 162, anything can happen. But that really is sort of the Nats' future, unless they sell the team to somebody who would spend big. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine that, you know, before I was away for a while, and he's like, you know, you had Ted on a couple of times, and we have had Ted on a couple of times. Ted's been very gracious with his time on two different occasions over the last, I think, 6 months or so to come on the show. And he said, you asked him at one point, would it be healthy for a sports market for an owner to end up owning three of the major four pro sports teams? And Ted thought that, and his answer was, I think that there would be a lot of synergy. There would be a lot of benefit to owning all three, but that it was a legitimate question. You don't really have that anywhere. There isn't a market in which one owner owns three of the four professional sports teams. Stan Kroenke owns multiple teams in multiple markets, but not three in one market. And I think that there would be a bit of a conflict, you know, which of the three are you putting your emphasis in and year out? You know, do you have to rob Peter to pay Paul in certain years? I don't know that that would be necessarily beneficial, but he went through an explanation. But my buddy said to me, and he's a big baseball guy and a big Nats guy, he said, I mean, the problem is if it were the only team that Ted owned in town, would he be a big spender? This is the sport more than any where you have to have a big payroll. You have to think big. And that's, for me, a segue into this, into the NBA Finals, which start tonight between Oklahoma City and Indiana. Two small market NBA teams. Two teams, one in particular, that have gone through some pain. Oklahoma City clearly, you know, went with, and we have one of the people that made it happen, Will Dawkins, as the general manager of the Wizards. They went through the idea of accumulating picks and having two terrible seasons, and that the Wizards have had two, and they're probably on their way to a third. But they went with, you know, the quasi-tanking strategy. They ended up being able to trade for a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They didn't draft him, but it was the environment in which they laid out in losing games and accumulating picks. And God, they have so many picks between now and 2030. It's sick. Oklahoma City looks so positioned to make a long run here over the next few years. But if, you know, in the NBA, you can build it that way, do you have to think big in this sport? I'll give you my answer when we come back, and we'll talk a little NBA Finals with OKC and Indiana tipping it off in Game 1 tonight. We'll do that after these words from a few of our sponsors. You're listening to The Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com. You can also check us out on the Team 980 YouTube page.
Attention sports enthusiasts, keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play, no purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore, from action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire. The fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
The number 47 market in the country is Oklahoma City. They will face off in game one tonight of the NBA Finals against the Indiana Pacers. Indianapolis is the 25th ranked market in the country. When you look at recent champions like Milwaukee and Denver, you start to get a different picture than the one that we used to have of the NBA, which was top-heavy, big market, marquee market, consistent, you know, performance by the big market teams, consistency in the teams that we see in the finals every year. No, we are now guaranteed to have a seventh consecutive year of a champion that has not won the championship in the previous six seasons. That started with the Lakers in 2020. Then we had the Bucks in 21, the Warriors in 22, the Nuggets in 23, and the Celtics last year with OKC and Indiana in a matchup. We're guaranteed to have a brand new champion, one that we have not seen, well, in the NBA ever, because neither one of these two teams has ever won an NBA championship. But it's amazing when you consider that this was Golden State versus Cleveland for four consecutive years, Miami Heat basically for four consecutive years against San Antonio and a group of other teams, including Oklahoma City back in 2012, Lakers, Celtics, Lakers, Spurs, Heat. You know, we had the Pistons there for a few years. The league's changed. The league has changed. And it's something that the league wanted. You know, they changed the way payroll worked. It was more strict payroll rules than it used to be. And for the past 10 to 15 years, the league has gotten much more parity. It's gotten much more competitive balance. I mean, the idea 10 years ago, 15 years ago, before a season started, oh yeah, we're going to see OKC and Indiana in the finals. No, you're not. It's not the way the league worked. It does now. So there is this belief with this matchup that now this gives every NBA market, some hope. And it should, you know, to a certain degree. You know, it should give, you know, markets like, you know, and I'm talking about downtrodden markets over a long period of time, you know, in the East, Charlotte, and of course, Washington, you know, in the West, New Orleans. You know, Washington's not a small market, but they are perceived to be small operation when it comes to the NBA. But this is going to give everybody hope, and that's a good thing. And the league has designed itself for more competitive balance. And what Oklahoma City in particular has been able to do with accumulating draft choices and using draft choices to make big trades. And obviously, you know, moving on from Paul George and Russell Westbrook, these were big trades that brought in more hauls. And they were able to use some of the capital that they had to land a player that had the potential to be kind of a top five-ish player in SGA. Just so you know, not only have they done an amazing job with the draft and then utilizing draft capital, accumulated draft capital and players to attract better players, they have over the next five drafts 30 choices, 12 of which will come in the first round. Now, some of those are protected, lottery protected, top five protected, etc. So they may not end up getting them in that year, but 30 picks over the next five drafts, 12 of them in the first round. The Wizards have accumulated a lot of picks over the next five drafts as well. But one thing for me that hasn't changed until, you know, further notice is that you can't win it all unless you have a legitimate superstar player. You've got to have a player that is arguably a top five player in the game to win the title. 2004, we've talked about this pretty much every year as we get to this time of year. 2004 was the last NBA championship team that did not include an obvious top five player. Chauncey Billups was not necessarily a top five player on that Pistons team that won in 2004. Rip Hamilton was not an obvious top five player. You know, Rasheed Wallace, Ben Wallace, not obvious top five. Okay, but since then, it's been a run of San Antonio with Duncan. The Heat, first of all, with Shaq and Wade when they won it in 2006. You had the Celtics with KG. You had the Lakers with Kobe. You had Dirk with the Mavericks. You had LeBron with the Heat. Back to Duncan, you know, in San Antonio. Then, you know, obviously the Golden State run with Steph. Cleveland sneaking in there with LeBron. Kawhi in 2019 in Toronto. LeBron back in the Lakers with the Lakers 2020. Giannis with the Bucks in 21. Steph, then Jokic, and then Tatum last year. You have not seen since 2004, it's an amazing run of 20 years, of a team win the NBA title without a player that was obviously in the conversation of being a top five player in the game. You have to have at least one superstar. You need more than that, but you have to have one true superstar. Now, if Indiana wins the title, they'll break that trend, because I personally don't view Tyrese Halliburton, not yet anyway, as a top five player in the game. You might have a, you know, an argument based on the way he's been playing in this postseason, the way he played last year, but this is a guy that hasn't even finished in the top five in NBA MVP voting. SGA would obviously be an example of a top five player. He won the MVP. By definition, that makes him a top five player in the league. You know, some of you would say, I don't really see Shai Gilgeous-Alexander as a top five player. I know what you're saying. In some ways, he's really, really close. Like, he's not far off. If you're not a big SGA fan, you can't have him that far off from number five. But he won the MVP. So he's certainly a debatable top five player. I don't view Halliburton that way. I think Halliburton is exceptional. I do. And I think, you know, it's possible that over the next couple of years, we view Halliburton as a top five player. But it wouldn't change the fact that in the year that he won the title, if they were to win it, he was not a top five player. Sorry, but Tyrese Halliburton in 2024-2025 is not a top five player. Just isn't. Really good player, all NBA player, but in my opinion, not top five. I think we could go 7-8 deep before we got to Tyrese Halliburton. He's got an odd game, by the way, so does SGA, to a certain degree. But with all of the, you know, talk about everybody now has a chance, they're lots of different ways to do it. You know, Boston did it, you know, last year with, by the way, drafted players. you know, Tatum and Jaylen Brown for starters, but they added pieces along the way. Certainly Holiday and Porzingis were huge for Boston's title last year. The Nuggets drafted the perhaps best player in the NBA. I think you can certainly make a case year in and year out that Nikola Jokic is the best player. He didn't win MVP. He was runner-up this year. And I think, you know, overall performance, I'm fine with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander winning it. Although if you told me that we're drafting for a team next year, there's no way I would take SGA before Jokic. But that's not really how, as we know, the MVP voting works year to year. But everybody has a much better chance than they used to, and the Wizards are pursuing the path that Oklahoma City pursued in many ways. They're not completely identical. They're not completely identical yet, because maybe if the Wizards, if you know, someone were to say, Kevin, they're going to be in the NBA Finals in 3 years or 4 years. How did that happen? Did it happen with somebody that they picked? Or did it happen with the picks that they had that enabled them to acquire a player that they viewed a year or two away from superstardom, which is what Oklahoma City was able to do? But don't forget, their second best player and their third best player and their fourth best player and their fifth best player all drafted for Oklahoma City. And good God, that is a deep team. And that is a team, if they continue under Sam Presti, to draft well and to maneuver well. They are well-positioned for a long-ass run. I mean, in part, they're well-coached and they're incredible defensively. We'll get to thoughts on this series in a moment. You know, the Wizards are in that predicament that, you know, some of the teams that have gotten there and gotten to the promised land, Denver, Oklahoma City, and Indiana this year, you know, the Bucks back in 2021, you know, even a team like Phoenix, although Phoenix is more attractive as well, Toronto back in 2019. They're in that, you know, area of, you know, okay, anybody can win it, but they got to get some of these picks right, and then they've got to utilize their picks to find somebody that is on the verge. And that's going to come down to keen talent evaluation. Sam Presti is exceptional. The Indiana front office, exceptional. Boston, exceptional. You know, everybody was giving Nico Harrison props last year. Denver has done a phenomenal job, although they were too thin this year. Bench-wise, you know, Giannis is, you know, going to land somewhere outside of Milwaukee in this offseason. KD is probably going to end up somewhere else. I was thinking, you know, about this a couple of weeks ago when Milwaukee got eliminated. I'm like, you know, I like the Wizards, what they're doing. You know, let's land on a superstar player, or let's utilize the capital, draft capital that they have to get that, you know, player as he's on the verge of becoming a superstar, which is what Oklahoma City did in the acquisition of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I like this. This is a much better path than the path that they were on. But part of me is also like, you know, there are no guarantees. You know, it's just like these conversations about the Trey Hendrickson draft proposal that Seth Walder put out there. You're talking about a given versus unrealized, you know, Johnny Newton and future picks. And wouldn't it be interesting if the Wizards just went all in, utilizing their draft capital? And they have the ability, with all of the ammo that they have, draft capital-wise, to make a big move, just to go in on Giannis and figure out a way to get KD here and just go for it, rather than continue to grind this out and hope that the unrealized becomes realized. I don't think they'll do that. And I think the other part of this, for some reason, Washington has never, ever been a destination for players. Whether it's cold weather, whether it's, you know, steep taxes, very expensive, etc. There have just been so many more attractive situations. It could be part ownership in the way the Wizards have sort of operated as, you know, a team that just is not perceived to be upper echelon. But then you look at Oklahoma City, but Oklahoma City and Indiana are two markets that care about their professional basketball teams. The Oklahoma City environment tonight, if you guys haven't seen it, and you might be tuning in for the first time, it is collegiate. I mean, everybody will be, I mean, you get this in the Midwest. You don't get this, you know, on the East Coast, where, you know, they put the T-shirts out and we're going with a blue out, or we're going with a white out, or we're going with a gold out, or, you know, a black out, or whatever it is, depending on the markets. You'll never see New Yorkers put on the T-shirts. You're not getting Sal from Queens to flip on the T-shirt that's hanging over the seat when he gets to his seat. And with all of the celebrities there, they're not putting on T-shirts. You get that in very collegiate atmospheres, and then at the professional level in the Midwest. You know, even I remember the Wizards games of 2015, 17, 14, when they were, you know, decent. Not an NBA contender, but they were winning playoff series. You know, they won 3 playoff series over 4 years. And they were putting T-shirts out, and even in our, you know, town, nobody was, they were, it was smattered, you know, across the crowd. It's tough to get Boston, New York, D.C. to kind of conform, comply to the, you know, T-shirt thing. But tonight, what you'll see in Oklahoma City is a collegiate atmosphere that just, I don't know if it can be matched in the NBA. It is loud. It is electric. It's all they have. I mean, they've got college football, and they've got the Thunder. And, you know, in that neck of the woods, a lot of Cowboy fans. A lot of Cowboy fans. Now, as far as the series goes, Max and I will talk about that when we come back. I think there are a couple of keys for Indiana if they're going to make this a series, because Oklahoma City is one of the top 5 all-time biggest favorites in NBA Finals history. I think justifiably so. We'll preview it and we'll pick it when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
All right, the Baltimore Ravens have signed Rashad Bateman to a contract extension, a 3-year, $36.7 million contract extension that includes $20 million in guarantees. GM Eric DaCosta also said that they are in the introductory stages of an extension for 2023 MVP Lamar Jackson. The Pittsburgh Penguins have hired Rangers assistant coach Dan Muse as their next head coach. This hire follows rumors that Caps assistant head coach Mitch Love was a top candidate for the job. And the Oilers, they close out the Panthers in an overtime thriller. They win 4-3. Leon Draisaitl skates it off with the OT winner. The Nats, they shut down the Cubs by a score of 2-0. Mackenzie Gore with 7 innings pitched, 7 strikeouts, only giving up 3 hits and 0 earned runs. They'll continue their series tonight. Jake Irvin expected to take the mound. Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 6:15 on 106.7 The Fan. First pitch at 6:45. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
Attention sports enthusiasts, keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play, no purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore, from action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire. The fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now.
Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
That's what we're gonna get. That's what we're gonna get next year. You know, with NBC back in the catbird seat with the NBA Finals. I think NBC will have the NBA Finals, right? And ESPN will just do a lot of the playoffs. I forget how that's going to work.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure NBC is going to be back in the NBA Finals business next year. I think that's true. All right, look, the matchup tonight, and if you want to weigh in, we're going to try to take calls on the NBA Finals. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Who do you like and why? In how many games, etc. So, a couple of things to know about this matchup. Oklahoma City is better, and they're much better, actually. Their margin of victory during the course of the season was the largest in NBA history. 12.9 points per game was their margin of victory. They won 68 games during the regular season. They set the record so far in the postseason with the most 30-point-plus wins with four. They're the best defensive team we've seen in the postseason in years, and they are easily the best defensive-rated team in the postseason to date by a large margin. The numbers for hustle stats like deflections and steals and turnovers forced, this is one of the best defensive teams you will ever watch play basketball. And they are deep, and everybody on the floor at any given time, including their center, Chet Holmgren, can guard any position 1 through 5. That's what makes them so great. It's part of the reason they're so great. They are individually great defenders. They have an incredible sense of team defense. You know, one pass away, two passes away, how to play it. They anticipate well. And then as on-ball defenders, they are relentless and physical. Now, with that said, Indiana is a great offensive basketball team. And when they play fast, they are impossible to stop. And that is the key to this series. I like Oklahoma City to win these NBA Finals, and that's hardly going out on a limb. They are somewhere between a minus 700 and minus 800 favorite. It's top five-ish all time in terms of how big of a favorite they are in these NBA Finals. And I think it's justifiable. I think based on what they were during the regular season and what they did in the two series. Look, they went to a seventh game against Denver. That just tells you, by the way, how great Jokic is and how great Murray was, too. The Denver forced Oklahoma City to a seventh game. And interestingly about that series, Denver had games 4 and 5 within reach of winning and really should have snagged one of those, which may have made the ultimate outcome different. I mean, if literally it would have. We don't know how things would have played out had Denver taken a 3-1 series lead, but when they were up 2-1 in that series, they had a chance, and a good chance, with a 7-point lead in the fourth quarter to take a 3-1 series lead at home, and then they had a very good chance to win Game 5. Denver was phenomenal in that series. Of course, they also have the greatest player in the game, you can argue, in Nikola Jokic. But OKC got through that. And a lot of the questions going into this postseason because of their margin of victory was, how are they going to perform in close games? Well, you know, they didn't. In Game 2 against Denver, they got beat at home. Game 1 against Denver, they got beat at home. And there were other, but there were other close calls that they did get through. But they didn't have a lot of close games. Again, 4 30-point-plus wins in the postseason. But Indy has to play fast. They have to take the basketball out of the net or off the glass, off the rim, and they have to play fast. That is the key to this series. If they can play fast, we could see some 135-131 games, and it would be highly entertaining. You know, but they average, listen to this, 73.5% of the time, Indy gets the ball past half court with still 20.4 seconds on average left on the shot clock. That's pretty unbelievable in terms of them playing fast. Now, how do they play fast against a team like Oklahoma City? Well, they have to get stops. The easiest way to play fast is to get stops, rebounds, turnovers. All right. And they've got to rebound. You cannot run if you can't rebound. Now, they do a great job, and they did a really good job against the Knicks. My God, in Game 6, it was embarrassing how many times Indiana took the ball after a made shot and had a dunk or a layup on the other end. I really, you know, we talked a little bit about Tibbs getting fired. I kind of saw it coming. I thought they were very poorly coached in the series against Indiana, completely outwitted by Carlisle. It is sinful to give up 6 buckets in transition after a made bucket. And that's what they did in an elimination game. That's coaching. You've got to have your players understand we have to get back on defense. So Oklahoma City will have no problem getting back on defense. But if you turn the ball over, or if you get, you know, a lot, if you get stopped a lot, that's the best opportunity. Indiana has to get stops, and then you got to rebound to be able to play fast, to be able to get out. Yeah, they'll push it after a made bucket, but really you have to get stops, and you've got to rebound. You know, it's an old adage that is mostly true. You want to run, you better get stops and rebound. Now, I think the key there will be offensive rebounding. They've got to keep Oklahoma City off the glass. Oklahoma City does a great job with second chance points. They've got to rebound. You can't run if you can't rebound. You can't run if you don't get stops, other than what they did against New York, and I don't see a lot of that coming. Both of these teams are very much into the possession game. Both take care of the basketball. And by the way, both teams have done a really good job in this postseason capitalizing off of turnovers forced against the other team. I don't have the numbers on this, and I was looking for them. Indiana did a nice job in their wins against New York of forcing turnovers. But God, I thought so many of those turnovers were not necessarily forced. I'm not saying that they didn't play great defense, because I thought Indiana played outstanding defense, but the Knicks, because they were so stagnant offensively, they basically were unforced turnovers in a lot of those situations. And I talked about Jalen Brunson yesterday. I'm not a Jalen Brunson guy. You can have him. He's a phenomenally skilled player, an incredible scorer, shooter. Part of it shouldn't be on him. A coach should not allow him to play the way he plays, you know, and to put as much on him to carry a team. You cannot, in my opinion, and we've not seen an example of it yet. Maybe we will next year or the year after. We're not going to see it this year because neither one of these two teams in the finals are ISO teams. I just don't think you can win 4 out of 7 in 4 straight series playing the way the Knicks play offensively with Jalen Brunson. I think if Jalen Brunson is your best player, you've got no shot to win the title. That's my personal belief. If you've got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander as your best player, you got a shot to win the title. But he's got a great supporting cast. To me, this is going to all come down to, can Indiana play fast? And for them to play fast, they're going to have to get stops and rebounds and force turnovers. And I just don't see that being something that they can do extremely well 4 times over 7 games. I like Oklahoma City, hardly going out on a limb here. Their team is so deep, and Indiana's impressive too. This is a much better matchup. For those that haven't paid attention to the NBA Finals, this is a much better matchup than what we would have seen Oklahoma City against the Knicks. The Knicks would have been a long shot, I think, to even win a game against Oklahoma City. Now, I say that in Minnesota, you know, routed Oklahoma City in game 3. I mean, that was like they didn't show up for that game. But Minnesota was a better team than the Knicks were throughout the season. Oklahoma City's so deep, guys. I mean, they've got a superstar in SGA. They've got a star in Jalen Williams. Another one in Chet Holmgren. Isaiah Hartenstein is just an absolute beast on the glass. Lu Dort is like, honestly, he's like Frankie Luvu on a basketball court. He is just one of the more physical linebacker-looking dudes that can move defensively. He is, as an on-ball defender, if you've ever played hoops at any level, he's the guy that if you walk out there and he comes over and says, I've got you, you're like, oh, Christ, I don't want him guarding me. Then they got Jalen Williams off the bench. Alex Caruso might be their best defender. He comes off the bench. Isaiah Joe can play. Aaron Wiggins, Terp fans, has had a great season. Now, he's really not gotten it going during the postseason. He actually didn't play a lot of minutes over their last few games. Cason Wallace, unbelievable. They've got guys that everybody guards. It's so impressive to watch. And then they have so many ways to hurt you. They spread the ball. The ball moves offensively, and if they get into a position where you've got to go at the end of a shot clock to ISO, they've got one of the best shot creators and one of the most clever shot creators. And by the way, one of the best at drawing fouls in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. That will be something you'll hear a lot about. You know, he is a foul merchant, they call him. It's crafty. We've seen it with the best players in the history of the game. They're able to draw fouls and get to the free throw line. I just don't see Indiana being anywhere in the class of Oklahoma City top to bottom, but much better matchup than the Knicks would have provided. Tyrese Haliburton is special, and I will tell you, I've been a Pascal Siakam fan since he was in Toronto, and he is legit. Nesmith can go on heaters. Miles Turner can really stretch the floor, defend. Nembhard is very sort of hit and miss. Obi Toppin comes off the bench. Thomas Bryant, remember Thomas Bryant here in Washington? He had a phenomenal game 6 in their closeout game. I think he had double figures offensively. TJ McConnell, man, good God, is he good. I mean, he is a phenomenal backup point guard. Ben Mathurin, not a big fan of his overall demeanor on the court, but he is a shot creator. They're good, too. They're really good. Ben Shepherd can really stretch it. Bradley plays. He'll guard people. This is a better matchup. I don't think Indiana gets blanked. I think they'll win a game, you know, in this series, maybe 2, but not 3 or 4. Oklahoma City, 4 games to 2. Ultimately, Indiana has to really push their style, fast style of play. And to do that, they're going to have to get consistent stops. They're going to also have to rebound. They're going to have to force some turnovers. And by the way, that just doesn't count how I think Oklahoma City can take a lot out of them physically when they're on offense, when they're forced to run half-court offense. Oklahoma City wears you out. That's another reason why Indiana has to play fast. Because if they get into having to run a lot of half-court offense, man, Oklahoma City takes it out of you. And then you just wear down. You saw it in the Denver series. You saw it in the Minnesota series. The Knicks just couldn't do that to Indiana. They're just not good enough defensively to kind of wear them down. And then they just did such a crappy job with transition defense. I like Oklahoma City in four games to one. I don't see this going any further than six games. Max will give you his prediction. And if you want to weigh in, who do you like? Oklahoma City or Indiana? And how many games? Why you like that team? Why not? 301-230-0980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app, and you can check us out on the Team 980 YouTube page.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.